at the showtime.
Whoa.
Listen to this.
Ordered for quality assurance.
Listen
to this.
With Dean and Sharon.
Sir, you are no gentleman.
And you, miss, are no lady.
Hi there. Welcome to this week's podcast of Dean and Sharon.
And oh my gosh, so many crazy stories this week. It's hard to know even where to begin. How many times, Dean, did we just facepalm as we read about some crazy shenanigans going on around the world?
Dope! We do that all the time. Well, Mr. Booth announcer, what do we got?
Call the pound. We've got a lost dog.
We're not talking a full-size dog.
Yes.
Calling all parents. We've lost your kids.
The next minute, boom, gone.
A boxer who's just a loser.
Lost 51 fights in a row.
And I think Siri has lost her mind.
Men can barely dress themselves in matching colors.
But first up, Sharon gives us a little bit too much information.
I tell you what, doing morning radio has its advantages, because even though I don't necessarily love getting up first thing in the morning before everybody else when the alarm goes off, one of the things it gets me off the hook for is my husband making these early morning make-out moves on me. Right?
Oh, when you first wake up?
First wake up and he wants to, you know, it's like, hey, have we got on a weekend or whatever? Because obviously it can't happen during the week. But on the weekend, he's like, hey. And he gets that little look in his eye and he gets a little bit snuggly.
Hey, before
his
you
hands
get up and out of bed.
And I'm like, hey, no. That's just no. Well, let me get up and pee and brush my teeth and have something. Like, no, I just don't want to be.
No, we're not waiting for that right now.
No, and that's kind of like, you know, and he doesn't understand. He gets his feelings hurt and he's like, well, gee, am I just rejecting me?
I'm the same guy as last night.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, first thing in the morning, no, that's just not on. But he doesn't get it.
Well, see, you got to understand, all guys wake up and Mr. Wood is around.
Well, it's,
every
yeah,
single,
morning glory.
Every morning. Yeah. Every morning. It's just something that it's
I know.
It's in the nature. But you're not into making
not
out
thing,
just
not,
because
no,
you want to brush your teeth.
I want to get up and I don't want that first all over me thing. No, let me get up and I don't, no.
So you haven't really confronted him with him. So
well,
maybe
no,
Siri
just
can
kinda,
confront him.
Well, maybe. Yeah. But I don't think it's just me. I don't think it's just me.
Right.
I think I'm pretty normal.
Right.
But I think we could ask Siri, though. Absolutely.
Go ahead. Ask Siri.
All right, let's ask Siri. All right. Siri, my husband always wants to make out with me in the morning. How do I get him to stop that?
What kind of psychopath did you marry? Who in their right mind puts their nose near someone else's mouth in the morning? That is both rude and absolutely disgusting. To fix this problem, you need to fight fire with stanky breath fire. Oh. Eat a bunch of pickles and vinegar chips before you go to bed and then don't brush your teeth that night. Give that gross mouth cocktail 8 hours to marinate and then when you wake up, hover over him and breathe deep right into his nose. Once he is done dry heaving next to your bed, he will never look at your mouth in the morning before you have had time to brush your teeth the same way ever again. Ha-ha-ha-ha. It is a disgusting plan, but drastic times warrant drastic measures.
Yeah, whoa.
Pickles and vinegar chips, did she say, before bed.
Pickles and vinegar chips.
And don't brush your teeth.
And don't brush your teeth. And it's okay. No, that would do it.
Thanks, Siri. Dang. Love it.
Listen to this.
With Dean and Sharon.
Improving your water cooler chat.
I got to tell you, this is nothing but pure determination, right?
If at first you don't succeed, try again. We're all told that. It's drummed into us as kids. Don't give up.
Have
another go. Pick yourself up. Dust yourself off. Have another go. Quitters don't quit. Well, quitters don't quit. Quitters do quit. But, you know, people don't quit. If you want to make it in life, you've just got to keep pushing on.
That's right.
But I got to tell you, if you're a boxer and you're getting punched around the chops every day and you haven't won a match in about 10 years, you could be forgiven for quitting.
I can understand why he's been beat down. He lost, this guy, his name's Rockin' Robin Deacon. He lost 51 fights in a row. 51 fights, 12 by knockout.
Yes. Oh, my God. He's 29 years old. He made his debut in 2006, and he won his very first fight. And then he hasn't won anything since then.
But, well, he's won the title of Britain's Worst Boxer.
Yeah, he's won that. He's won that fair and square. And his boxing license got revoked, actually, because they were just concerned for his safety.
Right. Hey, but quit, dude.
This is dangerous for you. This isn't you. Go and become a motor mechanic or do something else. This is not for you. But anyway, he decided to go to Malta and get a boxing license through there. And even though he's been beaten down and beaten down, he didn't give up, and it paid off just the other weekend because he finally won another. He finally won a match. Yes, he beat some guy named whatever he is from Eastern Europe. I can't pronounce his name. Who only had one win under his belt, and this guy, Rockin' Robin Deacon, won by decision. Yeah. He wasn't dominant or anything. It came, you know, it was a.
He didn't knock the guy out. No.
But he just got super cocky. He's just strutting around and telling the media he's going to silence all his critics and everything. And then I'm going to fight my way back to the top. Well, mate, you were never at the top for a start.
Never there, yeah. But he's calling himself the real life Rocky. So we'll have to watch this story and see if Rockin', what's his name? Rockin' Robin Deacon.
To see how he goes. Oh, my God. How bad, though? How bad does the guy that he beat, how bad does he feel?
Yeah, does he have to be?
He's been beaten by the guy that's lost 51 matches over the last 10 years.
Listen to this with Dean and Sharon.
Well, you hear these stories once in a while about dogs that go missing. And missing for several days, and then suddenly you find out that the dog walked 100 miles or something and made it back home safe.
Yes.
You hear about these things.
Oh, my gosh. It's just beautiful. This happened just recently. A dog in Wyoming that's back home after being lost more than a month in the wild at Yellowstone National Park.
Unbelievable.
Right? You got to think there's lots of things that could kill you.
Of course. There's bears out there.
All sorts of things.
A dog's going to survive a month in Yellowstone.
Apparently. Well, wow. Jade is an 18-month-old Australian Shepherd who went missing on July 23rd after she was in a car accident. And Jade's owners, David and Laura, since posted signs all over Yellowstone looking for the lost puppy and even created a Help Find Jade Facebook page. Oh. And then finally the search was over the other day. Nobody found Jade, but Jade found her way home because Laura was feeding the other dog at the park and noticed something black and white through the corner of her eye. And she couldn't see properly what it was because off in the distance. So she asked somebody, hey, listen, pass me those binoculars. And she had a look so she could see what it was. Turns out it was Jade. And she said, you know, Jade was just skin and bone, but otherwise perfectly fine.
Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that extraordinary?
You go to Yellowstone, lose your puppy, and a puppy. We're not talking a full-sized dog.
Yes.
Here. A puppy survives a month
in the wild.
In the wild?
God.
I know where I'm taking my mother-in-law next month.
Listen
to this.
With Dean and Sharon.
Making you sound more interesting at the dinner table.
Well, we're in football season. It's here. And I'm not sure the Patriots are going to survive all the scandal and the cheating and Deflategate and the investigation. And the reason that the NFL's come down so hard on them is apparently they've been doing this for a long time. Not Deflategate, but cheating.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they say that during game warm-ups, the Patriots would send low-level employees into the opponent's locker room to steal any play sheets left behind by the players. And this practice became so notorious, apparently, with the Patriots, that opposing coaches would often leave fake play sheets out, hoping to trick the Patriots.
Really?
So, I mean, how bad does it have to be when it's so rife, everybody in the NFL knows about it?
Yeah. Then they all might do it. I don't know, but it's coming down on the Patriots. And so we've come up with the top five signs that the Patriots are cheating again.
Right.
Okay. Number five, the Gillette Stadium scoreboard has the Patriots up 10-0 before kickoff.
That might be a sign right there. Number four is that the visiting team's Gatorade bucket is always laced with NyQuil.
Okay.
Put them right to sleep, yeah.
Number three, team meetings involve 40 minutes of film study, an hour of new plays, and 2.5 hours of getting their story straight. You
know? The number two hint that the Patriots might be cheating is, in case they're ever questioned by the league, each Patriots Super Bowl ring has got a hidden compartment, actually, and it contains a cyanide pill.
And the number one reason that the Patriots might be cheating, Bill Belichick is still the coach.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Listen to this with Dean and Sharon.
True stories from around the weird world.
So what happens when kindergartners try to, well, Shawshank their way out of school? And this is what happened. When you're in kindergarten, you're 5 years old, right?
Right, right.